Shall we turn to the book of Malachi? Malachi, we're going to read from chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. But we're going to preach only from verse 3 to 5 because we have done the first verses. Malachi 1, 1 to 5. Shall we begin? It says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Why is not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts. They may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel." As a way of recap, or as a reminder, we can go back to what we saw 7 weeks ago. We went through the love of God, the first verses of this portion of scripture. When God is talking to people of Israel, he talks about his love. And we saw 3 points on this. The first point was the love of God chooses, the love which chooses. And in that choice is sovereign. God chooses sovereignly, independently. No one has to tell him how he has to choose. And we saw this love is unconditional. God's choice is unconditional. It's not because of something, there's a reason God chooses whoever he wants to choose without any condition put there. And that love of God is infinite. That means it lasts. God's love doesn't change, doesn't finish. It is everlasting love to those he has called. And then the last point we saw was how is this love manifested in us. We saw a key verse as Paul said, that Christ loved us, yet while we were still sinners, Christ loved us. So it began in eternity past. God loved us while we're still sinners. There's nothing we could say that God loved me because of this, because of that, or because of I did this. It's while we're still sinners, Christ loved us. That was the love of God. And today we go to these 3 verses, from verse 3 to verse 5. We saw a statement which God makes here, if we see Malachi 3, God makes this statement. He says, "But Esau I have hated." Today, when we talk to people about God, people talk only about God of love. But God is love. Gude Chalik. God is love. Everywhere people talk about love of God. And how can we reconcile this verse, which is much used, "For God so loved the world," with a statement like this, that God hates somebody? What does the Bible mean? What does God mean when he says, "Esau, I have hated"? We will look at this statement And then we will see the outcome of this statement, what it means. As I ask the question, how can we reconcile this love of God and God who hates? The answer is, what God means here is that he did not, in his mercy and his grace, make a commitment, make a love relationship, love commitment with Esau, as he did with Jacob. With Jacob, God committed himself. He made a love commitment with him. But with Esau, he didn't do that. God let him do whatever he wanted to do. God didn't interfere in Esau's affairs. God abandoned Esau. God just let him do what was right in his own eyes. This is what the Bible talks in Romans chapter 1. If you read verse 24, 26, and 28, it talks about, Therefore, God gave them. This is what the Bible talks here when it says that Esau I have hated. God didn't interfere with him. God said to Esau, you will decide on your own destiny. You do what is right. God gave him to his own lusts. God just let him do what was right in his own eyes. And that's, this is the statement God, and it says here. And this is the worst thing God can do to anyone, or God can say to anyone. If God says to you that, well, do as you please, that's the worst thing he can do to you. And this is what he did to Esau here. And this is also a worst thing a parent or parents can do to their children. Have you been to families where children are the one running the house? Have you been to the airport or to restaurants? Have you been to places in public places, shopping centers, when you see parents are like children and children are like parents? They are the one ruling the house. That is the worst thing parents can do to children, because you are opening the door, you are telling them, do as you please, decide your own destiny. And the world is not meant to be that way. There must be guidelines, there must be some guidance, there must be somebody who rebukes, who disciplines. In Esau's case, God didn't do that. God let him do what he pleased. God let him feed his own desires, his own lusts. That is a dangerous thing, and that is opening the way for hell for somebody if you are led to do whatever you please. And today we will see the result of this statement. What happened when God let somebody do whatever they please? When God abandons somebody? When God doesn't interfere in somebody's affairs? When God says to people, decide your own destiny. Feed your ego. Feed your flesh. Feed your desires. Feed your lusts. What happens to it? In Esau's case, we will see the Bible talks about it. Before I could even study this, I didn't pay much attention. I didn't want to talk about Esau. I just wanted to go to other stuff of Malachi. But I came to a point of saying, why is this here? And it's not only one word. It's a portion of scripture. Why is it? There must be something God wants to teach us here. And we will see the result of this statement God made, that Esau I have hated. God abandoned him. God let him do whatever he pleased. Number one, if we look in lives of Esau, if we read scriptures, things didn't go well with him. This is the most known thing which we're going to talk about. Esau sold his birthright to his young brother. Something which was of worth, something which was of value, something which was dear. He didn't see the worth of it. He didn't see the value of it. Esau sold his birthright. God didn't even interfere, because God could have just said to Esau, don't do it. God could have said to Esau, no, or to Jacob, don't do it. But God let it happen, and Esau sold his birthright to his young brother. What was the cost of it? Because of a lunch, some stew, vegetable stew. He sold his birthright. God didn't intervene. If you want to read more about it, Genesis 25 talks about it. Second thing, Esau manipulated Isaac, his dad. Isaac knew that the promise was for the older was going to save the younger from before the children were born. But Esau went to his dad, Isaac, and wanted Isaac to bless him. And Isaac nearly did it. Esau made a nice stew and demanded, manipulated, that he would be blessed as well. But that was not God's plan. Thank God, God intervened that he wouldn't manipulate Isaac to the end. Esau planned to kill his young brother, Jacob. If you read scripture, the Bible tells us that when he noticed that Jacob was blessed, and when he saw the outcome of his selling his birthright, he became bitter in his heart. He wanted to kill his young brother. Thank God, Rebecca get to know about it, and she told Jacob to go away. Sin became master over Esau. Esau's desires were evil. The list continues. The Bible tells us that Esau married a wicked woman from the Hittite tribe. He married Hittite woman, and when Rebekah was sad, when she couldn't believe, you know what Esau did? He married another woman from the same tribe. He married a second Hittite woman. You can find this in Genesis 26, 35 to 34. We see the wickedness of this man. God had abandoned. God didn't interfere in his life. The list gets long. We read today the entire book of Minor Prophets is dedicated to the wickedness of Esau. Obadiah, let's turn to it and we will see what the Bible says about Esau. Obadiah, people call it differently. So if we go to verse 1 to 4, we see the result of God not interfering in somebody's life. He says, the vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, that's Esau, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. The Bible says here that as a result of this, Esau became so proud. Pride came much into his life, became part of his life. He grew proud, people. I thought as we are seeing, as we are learning about Christian living, we will spend more time talking about pride versus humility. That is the title of our message. Pride versus humility. We know pride is the most dangerous thing which somebody can live for. It's something, it's really bad thing for a Christian. Because when you are a pride person, you are not only pride to others. First of all, you are pride against God. Pride turns directly to God. You want to dethrone God. You want to take God off the throne. You want to be the master. You want to be the one who decides. You want to be the one who makes rules. You think things God has done are wrong. You want to have things your own way, as Esau was. You see here in the book of Obadiah that he became pride in his heart. He became proud in his heart. He thought he was better than God. He thought he was much better than God. That's what happens to anyone who has pride in their heart. Have you met somebody who's proud and try to read the word of God to them? Try to talk to them about submission. Try to talk to them about worshiping God, about respect. Try to talk to them about the duties God wants them to do. They don't want God to be the one who decides. That happened to Esau. Esau became a proud man. And God didn't like that. God didn't like that. Pride doesn't only stop that way, that you only proud towards God. You want to dethrone God, or you want to do what is right in your own eyes. Pride goes also this way. You want to show your pride to all your friends, everybody you are with. You may be at work. You want everybody to talk about you. You want everybody to listen to you. You want your words to be the last words. You are fully centered on your own lives. You think you are the only important person. It could be that you get that from your studies. It could be because of the family you come from. Because it could be because of the age. It could be because of any reason you become proud and you want everybody to worship you. If you see everybody, anyone who's proud, they are self-centered. Everything is all about them. Everything is all about me. It's my way or no way. They don't care what other people do. They don't care what other people do or say. People become so preoccupied with themselves. They want everybody to feed the ego. They want everybody to feel, to make them feel good. They want to be on top of everything. Pride is the dangerous thing. It's really dangerous thing. Esau grew so proud. He had pride in his heart. He thought he was the ruler. He was the one who could do things. He even wanted to compete with God. It came even to that stage that even if God, he thought he would be, God will destroy, but he will build. That's how his pride was, his ego was. Pride is not a good thing to have. Talking about it, I can tell you about my own cousin, the consequences of it, or the story about my own cousin, or second cousin, as you can call it. I had a cousin, and he was the most eloquent person you've ever met, the most handsome of us all, the most likable of us all. I had a cousin who was the most clever, the most intelligent of us all. The cousin who was, the future was bright for him. When we were younger, everybody spoke about him. His parents sent him to private schools. They sent him to best schools because he outshone his big brother, his sisters. He outshone all of us who were nothing compared to him. He was one of those top guys. But something happened in the life of my cousin. He became so proud. He became so proud at young age. When he was 18, 19, he became too proud. He knew it all. He knew best. No one could tell him anything. My cousin knew everything. And that showed itself in school. His result when school started going bad, because he didn't listen to teachers. They changed schools for him. The other schools, he had same problem. He started fighting with teachers. They couldn't teach him anything. He knew it best than his teachers. He knew it better than the teachers. He left school because no one could teach him. He knew it all. He was too proud that he couldn't even take advice from the teachers. It went further. Even in family, he couldn't listen to his own mom and dad anymore. He knew it all. No one could tell him anything. He knew it all. He could speak well. He could do everything well. It went in the family. He was so proud that no one wanted to listen to him anymore. It went even to friends. No one wanted to do anything with him, because he was too full of himself. Even we cousins, we were just talking to him because he was our cousin, but we couldn't talk to him anything deep, because we knew his opinion. He was going to be the one who's right. And it went on everywhere. No one wanted to listen to my cousin. And then he joined a free church. Because, as I said, he was eloquent, he could speak well, he was a likable person, he was good, and he became a preacher in free churches. He planted many free churches. One after one, he went there, he had a crusade, and he preached, and people came because he could speak, he was likable. And we, who were not free churches that time, were nothing. And he could preach, he could speak. And then every church he went to, after 6 months or 3 months, 4 months, everyone he was working with left the church. Or they put pressure on him, he left. Or he left, people left him. No one wanted to work with him because he was too proud. He was too full of himself. He was the master. He went on, he changed towns, he went to other towns. He was successful in his own eyes. He started churches, but nothing went on. And when it was time for him to get married, he found a woman he wanted to marry. Everyone in our family said, no, you can't marry that woman. You can't marry that woman. People gave reasons. He knew it best. My cousin married that woman. After 1 year, the woman died. Why did she die? She had AIDS. And then, so if she had AIDS, which means he had also AIDS, people offered him help. Take medicine, take this. My cousin knew it all. He wanted to heal himself. He wanted to do what was right in his own eyes. People washed their hands. I said, okay, do as you please. 2 weeks ago, before I went to Tallinn, I was sitting in this church and I got the message that my cousin had died. That's what pride can do to somebody. It can take you even to the grave. It can take you to the grave. This is with sadness, this is with sorrow in my heart, but we know. At one stage, I spoke to his younger brother. We were discussing our cousin. I told him that, was he not the most intelligent? Was he the most likable? Was he not the most clever of us all? But what went wrong? What went wrong? And we both agreed that he got too full of himself. He didn't listen to anyone. We could come to case after case. We're going on. You remember when your dad was saying this to him? You remember when your mom was saying this to him? You remember when this man was saying this to him? He didn't listen. He knew it all. Pride took him to the grave. That's the outcome. That's the result of the statement God does. When God does not interfere with somebody, when God gives somebody to their own lust, to their own desires, when God say, decide your own destiny, people become proud. Esau became proud. There are warnings in scriptures about pride. If you read 1 Corinthians 3:18, it says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. The same thing it said in the book of Galatians 6. Galatians 6:3. Paul says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. No, there are thousands of people here. You know, you've met those people. You have met those kind of people in churches. You've met them at work. You've met them in school. You've met them in different places. In family, we have those kind of people who think they are up there, who think they are something which they are not. The Bible says they are deceiving themselves. Esau deceived himself. Esau thought he was the master of his own destiny. He thought he could do best. He could build the temple. And he came even so arrogant that even if God destroys, I will build. Pride comes from within us, from what we have or what we are. We think we are bigger than we are. This is even in families. Husbands, be careful so that you are too proud, that you don't listen to your wife, so that you look your wife down. Wife, be aware of this. Watch out so that you don't grow so proud in your own heart that you don't listen to the counsel of your husband. You don't even want to do anything with what he says because you know it all. This applies even to children. Be watchful so that you don't go too full of yourself. You think you know it better. I've seen children, because they are educated than their parents, because they are taller than parents, they don't show any respect. That's what Esau did. Esau grew too proud himself. Church leaders, watch out so that you don't grow so proud. You don't listen. You don't do what you are called to. You do everything to feed your own egos. The same thing applies to church members. Don't be like Esau. Don't feed your own egos. Be meek. Be teachable. Be humble. Be humble towards yourself and towards God and towards others. Consequences can be really painful. We are not to be as Esau was. There is an entire minor prophet written about Esau. And if you read time after time in scriptures, it talks about Esau, Edom, Edomites, Edom, Edomites. It goes on. We are to guard ourselves. We are to watch ourselves. We are to show that God intervenes in ours. God interferes with our lives. We are not our own masters. We are not enslaved to sin. There is God who guides us. There is God who gives us some limits. Implication of pride. If you go back to the book of Obadiah 10 to 11, it shows what pride can do to you. Obadiah 10 to 11, this is what it says. He says, for violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. When you are too full of yourself, when you are proud, as Esau was, it doesn't stop there that you are proud against God, you are proud against other people. It goes even further. You make enemies. You start considering people as your opponents. You start going to fight. You taking sides. You go and look for partnership. You want to partner with people so that you can destroy other people. You go to fight as Esau did. Esau went to fight so that he could destroy his brother Jacob. And the Bible talks about it here. Instead of being the one who protects his brother, instead of the one who does good to his brother, Esau took the side of Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to destroy Israel or Jerusalem. Esau took side. Esau partnered with Nebuchadnezzar to destroy his brother. That happens. You've been with people who are proud. They make opponents. They see anyone who's a threat to them. It's all in their own minds. They identify, this one is my opponent, this one is my opponent, this one is my opponent. And they make a plan how to destroy them. We saw what happened to Esau when he knew about what has happened to his brother Jacob. He wanted to kill him. And that didn't stop there, it continued. And that happens to anyone who is proud. Anyone who is the concurrent or anyone who is they make as the opponent, they try to destroy. It happens at work. It happens in families. It finds in politics. That one is the upcoming guy. I must finish him before he gets there. Things happen because the heart is full of pride, because people are so self-centered. They don't want to share glory. Esau went to look for partnership. That happens. In Church of God, we find that happening. You see people splitting churches. You see people finding people to stand on the side. I've been to meetings where you are there, you asking, what is this all about? It's just that people want to make followers for themselves so that they can split the church. We see groups in church, people want to feed their own egos. People are too proud and they are fighting. They are fighting as Esau did. God was not happy when Esau destroyed Israel, when he entered in partnership with Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Israel. And God is not going to be happy if you enter in partnership, if you go and manipulate and change people's minds or ideas so that they can feed your own agenda. God is not going to be happy. It didn't stop there. When Moses was coming out of wilderness with people of Israel, guess what happened? They were coming. Book of Numbers 20, 14 to 21 gives us a story of what happened. They were coming. They get to the border of the Edomite land. And Moses sent his messengers to go and ask the king of Edomites if they would let them to pass through the land. Not to eat, not to drink water, not to do anything, just to pass through the land to use the king's highway. And the Edomites said no. They refused. And Moses offered to pay, that if they would use anything, he would pay for it. And the king of Edomite said, no. That's how wicked they were. That's how wicked they were. That's how pride comes into the heart of man. Even if this person is saying good thing, even these people are trying to construct, they are trying to build up, they are saying the most sensible things, the pride man doesn't accept it. Because it doesn't fit their own ego. Esau did the same. Esau wanted Israel to be off, wanted Jacob's descendants to be off. This is time for us to examine ourselves, to think, are we behaving like Esau in our own lives? But there are consequences of pride. There are consequences of pride. If you go to Malachi 1, 4, God is talking here. He says, even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will destroy down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. To the pride, there is destruction as the end. The Lord God will destroy the proud. The Lord God will destroy as he did with Esau and his descendants, the Edomites. As we read in Obadiah, God promised total destruction of them. There are some Edomites known in history. One of them is Judas Iscariot. The other one is Herod the Great, the one who killed all the young boys so that he could kill Jesus. God promises destruction for those who are proud. Because as I said, you are not only proud for yourself that you want people to worship you, you want people to accept you, you want people to do this. You take action. You go to fight. You go to fight with God's people. You go to fight. There are people who fight for the church. You want to destroy churches. There are people who even in this small church, we've had problems. We've seen people coming in and suddenly they grow so proud. They want everyone to worship them or whoever them to listen to them. They make themselves as bigger. They think they are something, but they are not. Some want to preach. They demand it. I want to preach. And the whole church knows that person can't preach. But the person is so full of himself, so preoccupied with himself. You try to make peace. You try to talk to them. You try to tell them. You become the enemy. You become the enemy. They try to divide. And when they don't succeed, thank God, they go out and they do it on the internet. They do it on different platforms. That's not only here. It's places, many places. You see people wanting the ideas, which maybe they're not biblical. When you tell them, no, brother or sister, it's not how it should be done. People, you see that the wrath comes out. And you ask yourself, is this wrath only for now, for what I said, or was it the wrath which was stored for many years, was coming up? And you get surprised. And you see people going, trying to poke, try to make the way. They make enemies. They go in partnership with, as Esau did. There is destruction for those who are proud. And this is a time in this age where we live. There are festivals organized throughout the land and throughout the world. People celebrating sodomy and celebrating sin. And they call it Pride Festival. They are pride. They are proud people. We are proud for sin. We are proud. And if go there and try to preach the gospel, tell them about the law of God. They want to dethrone God. They want to take God off the throne. They want to put themselves there. Try to tell them that I say that sodomy is a sin. You become an enemy. You become an enemy. And that happens time after time. They buy politicians. They buy decision makers. They buy everything. Everyone is afraid of them. There is a warning. There is a time coming when they'll be destroyed. Esau doesn't exist. Edomite don't exist today. We heard in Obadiah how the land was going to be divided. You heard. There is no future for the pride. There is no future for people who are full of themselves. Now, in conclusion, let us bring it home. As Christians, how do you identify yourself in light of this, all this we saw, all this we've spoken about? Are you seeing yourself more and more to the side of Esau? If I just described you, if you had problems, are you having problems? Are you, what can I say, attention-seeking person? Do you put others first? Can you compromise in a good sense? I'm not talking compromise that you leave what is good. No. In a good sense. Can you make peace? Or is life all about yourself? Are you self-centered? Are you preoccupied with yourself? Remember Esau. Remember my cousin. He got too blind. It was only himself. No one wanted to work with him. No one wanted to be with him. He didn't listen. He thought he was doing the right thing. He died. He was not even 45 years. He died. That's the youngest person of my cousins who died. The most eloquent, the most clever, the most intelligent, the one with the best future we could see is the one who died younger. There are consequences. And let me ask you, are you humble? There is nowhere in Scripture the Bible tells us to be pride people, to be self-seeking, to be full of ourselves. There's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible tells us to be humble. The Bible tells us to clothe ourselves with humility. First Peter 5:5-6 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:5-6. We are commanded by the one who was with the Lord, the apostle, that we have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. And God is not, as I said, God doesn't interfere in your life. God wants you to do what you want to do, gives you up. That doesn't mean that God becomes other. God takes the opposite side. God opposes everything you do. God works for your destruction, as he did with Esau. We have to be careful if we call ourselves as Christians. We have to examine ourselves. We have to bring, to go examine every aspect of our lives. Are we feeding our own ego? Because we might be dethroning the God we claim to be our God in our acts. We might be dethroning people God has put in place to be our leaders. We might be working to dethrone them. We might be fighting against the people of God the one Christ saved, the one he said earlier on in Psalm 5, that he will bless, he will bring joy. You are there fighting against him. That's not a good position to be if we are Christians. It saddens my heart when I see the church of God is full of divisions. It saddens my heart when I see the church of God is full of groups. Not because of theological things. Not because of important things. Because of personality. That's not a good position a church of God should find themselves in. We are a group of people. God has put us in this place. Place that's called us from different corners of this world. We are here. Each one of us who's a child of God, Christ has paid his own blood for us. We are to humble ourselves in our behavior, in our act, in our deeds, everything we do. We have to act, to think actively. Am I being higher than God? Am I being higher than my brothers and sisters? What do people think of my way of doing things? Is there any truth in it? If there is any truth in it, what can I do? What can I do? If that's me, that's who I am, then you have not died to Christ. You have not died to Christ. Christ put himself humility. He died on the cross. He, the Son of God, he, the creator of everything, he died on the cross. He humbled himself. We are to be humble. We are to humble ourselves. Again, the question is, who are you identifying yourself with? Esau or the true Christian saved by grace of God? Your identity, my identity, is not in what I am or what I have. My identity is in this, that I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. Your identity, if you are a child of God, should be the same. You are a sinner saved by the grace of God. Without the grace of God, you are going to go to hell. No matter your goodness, no matter how elegant you are, no matter how educated you are, no matter how beautiful you are or handsome you are, no matter how rich you are, without the grace of God, you are going to go to hell. That must be always in our mind. Think of Esau, think of pride, and think of destruction which came as a result of his pride. You have a week to think. You have a time to think. Examine your own life. Be really yourself and ask yourself these questions. Esau, I have hated. Esau, I have hated. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. It is time for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken in a few words, and telling us how we are not to be. We are to be people who are humble, who are humble towards you, who are humble towards ourselves and to our brothers and sisters. You have not called us, Lord, to feed our own egos. Lord, to be the center of everything. You have called us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to put others first. Father, to seek the goodness of others. Father, if we fall short, as we all of us fall short this time, Father, we pray that you will help us, that you kill all the character of Esau in our lives. We want to be humble. We want to be like you, our Lord and Savior. We want to be the people who are quick to repent, who are quick to turn, not people who boast in our own abilities. Help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.